EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2010 opens this morning. The Kestrel Turboprop Project has big news. And here at Whitman, we get to meet the new TSA administrator today. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 26th, 2010. Welcome to opening day at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2010. If you've been watching the weather, you know there's been a bunch of rain here. The long-range forecast for the rest of the week is improving, but there are bound to be some areas of the traditional grass parking areas at Whitman Regional Airport that remain unusable, so check ahead before you commit to flying in. The Kestrel Turboprop Development Program had some big news Friday. A new company leading the certification effort plans to base the company at the soon-to-be-decommissioned Naval Air Station Brunswick in Maine. And the return of Cirrus Design co-founder Alan Klapmeyer to the industry as chairman and CEO of Kestrel. The Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority and the new Kestrel Aircraft Company have entered into a lease option for Hangar 6, described as a 170,000-square-foot, state-of-the-art aviation maintenance facility built in 2004. The Kestrel venture at Brunswick Landing will involve an investment of over $100 million and is expected to create over 300 high-paying jobs once the company is in full production. Kestrel development, certification, and initial production are scheduled to begin this fall. We expect to have more to tell you about this project during AirVenture this week. A Cessna 206 operating as a medical transport went down Friday in Lake Michigan off the coast of Ludington, according to Coast Guard officials. There were five on board, only one rescued. Petty Officer Nathaniel Parks said the accident occurred just after 10 a.m. local time, and the survivor was pulled from the water about 2 hours later. FAA spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham Corey says the flight originated in Detroit and was en route to Rochester, Minnesota. Parks told the Associated Press a witness reported the crash and the Coast Guard had received a signal from the ELT. FlightAware shows the plane flew a 180 back toward Detroit about a third of the way to Rochester. It entered a steep decline in altitude near the crash site. New TSA Administrator John Pistoli visited Raleigh-Durham International Airport Thursday as he continues a series of visits to airports and transportation facilities. He spoke with TSA employees and airport and airline stakeholders and outlined his top goals and priorities, which he says include improving TSA's counterterrorism focus through intelligence and cutting-edge technology, supporting the TSA workforce, and strengthening the agency's relationships with stakeholders and the traveling public. He also discussed MyTSA, a mobile web and iPhone app that will let you quickly and easily access the most frequently asked questions about airport security and post wait times for other passengers to view. Pistoli is also soliciting input and feedback from the public through an online forum called Talk to TSA. We get our chance to offer feedback today here in Oshkosh. Pistoli is doing a Meet the Administrator session at AirVenture. Up next on ANN, Southwest Airlines makes its first appearance at AirVenture. The UAV endurance record wasn't broken, it was pulverized. And Qantas buys more Q400s. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight, intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 26th. I'm Paul Plagg. Southwest Airlines will be joining EAA for the first time at AirVenture this week. The highlight of Southwest's participation will be the arrival of one of the airline's newer Boeing 737s on Saturday. To commemorate the occasion, the airframe will feature a unique decal and will be open for tours during the day. According to information posted on the airline's official blog, The plane will arrive at Aeroshell Square at 8 a.m., be on display for the day, and depart at the end of Saturday's air show. Brian Lusk, a Southwest Airlines customer communications specialist and official blogger for the company's website, says, quote, "We are really excited about the 2010 Air Venture because this year, one of those modern airliners attending the show will be one of our 737-700s, and our experts will be on hand to discuss the new RNP system installed on the aircraft," unquote. The solar-powered Zephyr UAV landed last week after more than 14 days of continuous flight, powered by nothing more than sunlight. Kinetic, the UK-based company that built the UAV, said it had nothing more to prove by extending the flight any longer. The previous record for an unmanned aerial vehicle was only 31 hours. The Zephyr flew as high as 60,000 feet to give its solar panels maximum exposure to the sun. The panels not only powered the aircraft's engine, but also charged the onboard lithium-sulfur batteries, which kept it aloft during the night. Project manager John Saltmarsh told the BBC, quote, "We are just really delighted with the performance," unquote. He said the Zephyr is now no longer considered to be experimental and is ready to begin the operational phase of its life. Bombardier Aerospace says Australia's flag carrier, Qantas, has placed a firm order for 7 Q400 next-gen turboprop airliners. They'll be operated by Qantas's wholly owned regional airline, QantasLink. The contract is valued at $218 million at list prices. This order will make 28 Q400 and Q400 next-gen airliners operated by QantasLink. The airline also operates two Bombardier -8 200s, three Q200s, and 16 Q300s. Qantas CEO Alan Joyce says the Q400 aircraft has become the flagship of QantasLink's regional fleet. Quote, "The aircraft really suits QantasLink's operations and is extremely popular with the airline's customers. These new aircraft are next-generation Q400 aircraft with upgraded cabin interiors and larger overhead compartments," unquote. The search for an alternative to petroleum-based jet fuel continues, and for the first time, a Bombardier Q400 will be flown using fuel from an oilseed crop as part of a new biofuel test program. A six-partner consortium led by Saskatchewan's Targeted Growth Canada expects to demonstrate biofuel produced from camelina in a Porter Airlines Q400 by early 2012. The Q400 is equipped with standard Pratt & Whitney Canada PW150A engines. Sustainable Oils LLC and Honeywell's UOP will participate in the camelina biofuel test program. Targeted Growth Canada will work on crop optimization and growth. Sustainable Oils will pre-refine the camelina oil, and Honeywell's UOP will produce the hydro-treated renewable jet biofuel from the oils provided. Funding for the project is being provided by the partners, as well as by Sustainable Development Technology Canada, an arm's-length, not-for-profit corporation created by the Government of Canada and Green Aviation Research and Development Network. Still ahead, Airbus says the market for its planes is clearly back. Boeing reaches a milestone in China, and the last time turns out to be all about the people. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 26th. I'm Paul Plack. Airbus says it finished up the Farnborough Air Show last week with orders for 255 aircraft, valued at about $28 billion. That includes 133 firm orders and 122 MOUs. Airbus sales chief John Leahy commented, quote, "Before the Farnborough Air Show, we already had 131 orders, and we predicted that by the end of the week, we'd double that. Indeed, the commitments which we have already received here bring our total firm orders this year already to over 260 aircraft. This clearly proves that the market is back and that our new end-of-the-year target for over 400 orders is within reach," unquote. That 400 part? Maybe. The market is back part? Competitor Boeing agrees, but industry analysts say not yet. Boeing is crowing about a milestone in Asia. A new next-generation 737-800 delivered to Air China marks the 800th Boeing aircraft delivered to that country. The delivery of the 800th Boeing was celebrated Wednesday by the plane maker, the Civil Aviation Administration of China, and Air China. In 1972, China's CAA ordered 10 Boeing 707s, establishing it as a major world airline. Today, more than 50% of all commercial jetliners operating in China are from Boeing. In return, since the 1980s, Boeing has purchased more than $1.5 billion in aviation hardware and services from China, and says it will double that in coming years. Finally, today is the opening day of AirVenture, but the closing day for the last time, a gathering of DC-3 and C-47 aircraft and enthusiasts being held about 150 miles from here in Rock Fall, Illinois. The big formation flight that was originally envisioned as a mass arrival at AirVenture won't be landing here, but it will still be forming up and departing Rock Falls early this afternoon and will be quite a sight. I got to spend Saturday and Sunday at the event before coming here to Oshkosh, and while I'm going to miss seeing the formation, Aero TV's Jim Grosser and Ben Schreiner are there to capture it all in video. And while the departure will be spectacular, just as memorable is the amazing interaction between people at the event. One example, the owner of one beautifully restored C-47, which happened to be involved in the D-Day invasion, had an elderly visitor drop by. It was the man who inspected the plane when it rolled off the assembly line in Long Beach in the 1940s. It was an emotional reunion, and we captured some of it for Aero TV. But I've never felt more accurate in saying, you had to be there. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my interview with DC-3 owner, pilot, and type instructor Dan Grider, recorded yesterday at the Last Time reunion. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.